Robert Fico has been shot and seriously wounded in the central town of Handlova. A suspect has been detained. Russian forces are continuing their advances in the northwest of Ukraine, prompting President Zelensky to cancel all trips overseas. The government has ordered some criminal court cases be delayed because of overcrowding in English prisons. Two men have appeared in court accused of felling the sycamore gap tree in Northumbria. The owner of Royal Mail has indicated it's willing to sell the company to a Czech billionaire. BBC News.
And the news was presented by Tom Sanders.
You are an unusual man, Mr. Newton. Do you mind me asking where you're from?
On BBC Radio 4.
I thought this could be my chance to be the hero, save humanity, but now, I don't know.
Christopher Eccleston in a new telling of Walter Tevis's seminal work.
I can give you a net worth of $300 million.
That wouldn't be enough.
Enough for what, Mr. Newton?
The man who fell to Earth.
It dismays us to see what you're doing with such a beautiful, fertile world.
On Radio 4, available now on BBC Sounds.
Now on BBC Radio 4, the Anglesey comedian Tidlir Owen tells the almost true story of the time when his family farm went international.
This is a true story, in that it's as true as I remember. Some of the people I'm going to tell you about are long gone, but others are still here. And there are two, well, you'll see. They might be listening right now. I hope so. One morning in 1978, a man came to our farm on the island of Anglesey. He had long blonde curly hair, courageously short orange trousers, and the hairiest legs I'd ever seen. He moved into our attic bedroom and lived there for a month.
Hello, my name's Hector. Very pleased to meet you.
When I was 10, everyone in my world seemed to fall into one of two categories. They were either Welsh people, Cymraeg, or non-Welsh people, ddim yn Cymraeg. This wasn't because of any kind of horrible xenophobia. It was simply because for me, back then, there existed only these two worlds. There was my world, a purely Welsh one, and then there was this non-Welsh world, which I was familiar with mostly from television, breakfast cereal packets, and the occasional English-speaking student.
I'm from Bangor University. I'm booked to stay with you for a while, doing some geology studies and soil sampling, that sort of thing.
We had English lessons at school, so I was able to communicate with people from this other world, up to a point.
And what do they call you?
Who?
Well, other people, your family. What's your name?
Tidlir.
Gosh, how do you say that?
Tidlir!
Like that?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. You must be Mrs. Owen. I'm Hector.
Oh, yes, from the university.
Yes, that's right. Very pleased to meet you.
My mother tried unsuccessfully not to glance at Hector's marvellously furry legs.
I hiked here along the coastal path. Super scenery.
Isn't it?
Tidlir! Tim di bacher trailer ride. Oh, hello. One of the students, are you?
I'm Hector. You must be Mr. Owen.
Depends who's asking. I like your underpants. Bit old for a geography student, aren't you?
Geology, actually.
Is it now? Well, the ones we normally get don't have legs like that, do they?
No, they don't.
I'm actually doing my master's.
Well, you can master that tractor and help get the hay in before the county show.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't drive.
No, none of you ever do. Well, you can lift a bale of hay, surely. Tidlir, take his rucksack into the house. Henry, come with me. All hands on deck.
Oh, I see, but listen, I'm not sure if I'm dressed for farm work, and I really need to visit the loo. Is there one?
Hector turned out to be not very good at loading hay bales onto trailers, so my father never asked him to help again.
He can't lift a bale higher than his knees, can he, Esther?
I've seen more meat on a butcher's dog.
Pencil.
What?
It's butcher's pencil.
Is it? Well, you're no good at carrying hay, but you do have lovely English.
Thank you.
Esther was my father's right-hand woman, who knew everything there was to know about the farm and how to run it. She lived in the village and was known as Esther Huvarwodd. It was one of those names you wouldn't call anyone to their face. Before the war, there were two Hughes in the village, but afterwards, there was only one. So from then on, they were both known as Hugh Vew, or Alive Hugh, and Hugh Varawodd, Dead Hugh. Unfortunately for Esther, the latter was her husband.
Thank you for lunch, Mrs. Orr. Right, come on then. These fleeces aren't going to pack themselves. Do you think you can manage to lift a bit of wool, Hector?
Well, I don't mean to be rude, but I do have a surprising amount of preparation.
Oh, never mind. You go and play with your stones. Come on then, Tiddir.
It wasn't unusual to have women farm workers, but Esther was one of a kind. She was tall and athletic, with short cropped white hair, and she always wore a beret, which I'd assumed used to belong to Dead Hugh. Also, she seemed to have a rule for most things.
That young man has good breeding, I can tell. Always respect good breeding, that's my rule.
What do you mean?
Well, you see those two ram lambs over there? Which one do you think your father will choose to take to the county shore?
I don't know. He's just one to catch.
Oh, call yourself a farmer.
I didn't call myself a farmer. I never wanted to be a farmer.
Look again. Do you see how that one holds his head? That's confidence, that is. And it comes with good breeding, Tiddir. You've either got it or you haven't. I'm telling you, that ram lamb has it. And so does the young man who's staying in your attic. That's when I'll have a rosette on his back at the county show. Mark my words.
Hector?
No, the sheep, a fool, Gwirion.
Our farm was on the rugged southern coast of Anglesey, which the university had told us was like Disney World to geologists, although I'm pretty sure they'd never actually been to Disney World either. I tried to find out where Hector went during the day, but once he was out of the house, he seemed to vanish, and we'd never see him until supper time. Esther thought she'd spotted him in Holyhead town centre and had followed his bouncing curly blonde locks into Woolworths, but it turns out it was one of the women who worked at the homeware department.
Good day today, Hector.
Very interesting formations. Very, very, very good, yes.
And you definitely weren't in Holyhead, were you?
No. Why do you ask?
Oh, no reason.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm going up to my room to write out my daily report.
Before you go, I've got something to report to. Some news.
Oh, Rarklois.
My mother reversed towards the Aga cooker to brace herself, because she was used to my father's news flashes. What would follow could be anything from slanderous village gossip to a half-baked business idea as crazy as opening a zoo. But this turned out to be neither. This little nugget required a two-handed steadying grab on the towel rail.
It's good news.
It never is.
Remember the letter we had from the Welsh Tourist Board?
The threatening one about our B&B accreditation?
No, the other one. About the film crew that are coming to North Wales. Well, they've decided they want to come here to film. They're coming on Saturday morning.
That's tomorrow.
My excitement levels instantly took me to high-pitched voice mode.
A film crew, Esther? They're coming here tomorrow?
Filming, Arvenaidi. No bloody filming crew will be filming me. I'll tell you that for nothing.
It's Saturday. You won't be here.
Well, if I was here, what does the Englishman think of it?
Yes. What exactly are they going to be filming?
Us, I think, and the farm. We'll find out tomorrow.
Ah, I see. Well, the thing is, I'd rather not, actually, Mr. Owen. I don't particularly want to be filmed, you see, and not very photogenic, I suppose.
They're not interested in you anyway, Hector. They want to film Welsh people, you see, and you're English.
Well, part Scottish, actually, but, well, that's all right, then.
How many of them are there?
Two, I think.
Oh, well, I should be able to manage lunch for them, at least.
Or maybe three. Plus the interpreter, of course.
The what?
The interpreter. It's someone who translates.
I know what an interpreter is.
I didn't.
What's an interpreter, Dad?
Shush, Tiddir. So where exactly are these people from?
Japan, I think.
Japan? Oh, well, thank you for letting me know. How am I supposed to feed people from Japan?
Oh, the same way as you'd feed anyone else.
My excitement levels had shot up another couple of octaves. Not only would these people be not Welsh, they would also be not English. They were Japanese. My known world was about to grow in size by a third.
Oh, and you're an expert in Japanese food now, are you?
Well, how about cheese sandwiches then? You can't go wrong with a cheese sandwich.
Oh, yes, I'm quite sure they have them in Japan.
Unbelievable.
Ma'am,
Or Titir, an interpreter is someone who can speak their language. Now go to bed.
Like the woman at the dentist.
The dentist at Holyhead wasn't Welsh, but there was always a woman in the room who would repeat what he said to me in my language, and she would also sometimes put a pipe in my mouth, which would stick to my tongue. She must therefore, I deduced, have been an interpreter.
Yes, exactly like the woman at the dentist. Now go to bed.
The following morning, a little red Austin Mini bounced its way onto our yard, followed by a huge Peugeot estate car.
Well, lots to do, must be off. All the best with the filming today, Tiddyeth.
It's Titir.
But what about breakfast, Hector? Have a cup of tea, at least. Or I can put it in a flask.
But he was out of the door and away over the fields quicker than you could say, my name's not Tiddyeth. The interpreter in the red Austin Mini introduced herself to my father. Her name was Caris, and she wasn't the same woman I knew from the dentist.
Well, I'm very glad you're here, Caris, because I'm afraid we didn't do much Japanese at Llangefni County School.
It turns out Caris hadn't either. She was just someone who worked for the Welsh Tourist Board who'd come to show them the way to the farm. And after little more than a theatrical hand gesture to introduce the crew, she jumped into her car and bounced her way back up the road again.
Well, which one is the interpreter, then?
Mr. Olwyn?
Oh, thank goodness. You had me worried for a bit. Hello, and welcome to our farm. Very pleased to meet you.
本当に申し訳ないんですが、私たち英語話せないんです。
If she was the interpreter, she wasn't very good at it.
Pardon?
No English. Sorry.
Oh, I see. Well, this might be a bit tricky then. Anyway, let's have a go. This is my son. His name is Titir.
There followed lots of smiles, handshakes, and some ruffling of my hair as the crew introduced themselves. The woman was called Kumiko, and she seemed to be in charge. A really tall man announced that he was Takashi. The third member of the crew looked like he'd come straight from Top of the Pops. He wore a white t-shirt, bell-bottom jeans, and his hair reminded me of a show horse's mane as he flicked it from his face before inviting me to repeat his name.
Susumu.
Everyone laughed, including my father, although I don't think he knew why either. But for now, even though the language barrier seemed impenetrable, things got off to a flying start as Susumu opened the tailgate of the car and reached for a cardboard box which he offered my father. It was full of gifts, including a bottle of Japanese whiskey, which my father always said was the best he'd ever tasted. A ridiculously sharp and probably contraband kitchen knife, which my mother used for years without having to sharpen it, and various bags of fluorescent sweets, which looked like the result of a chemistry experiment. Kumiko presented my parents with a letter, written in English, from a company called TBS Television in Tokyo.
It says here they're filming for a programme called Children of the World, and they're travelling all around Europe, and they graciously and humbly request that the family is prepared and enthusiastic to represent the great country of England. England?
Yeah, well, you know what they mean. Well, then, it looks like you're going to be the star of the show, Tiddir.
Not if they think he's English, he won't. Don't worry, Tiddir, I'll put them straight.
Yes, well, that's easier said than done.
I'll make sure your Wales rugby shirt is washed, Tiddir. It says here they're going to be filming for 8 to 10 days. You said it was a weekend.
Did I?
I didn't care how long they'd be here. I was going to be one of the children of the world. I would be a star, albeit wearing the same Wales rugby shirt for 8 to 10 days, but a star.
This is good news. It means they'll be here to film at the county show. I've got a good feeling about this show. Something big is going to happen. I can feel it. And it's all going to be on camera.
He wasn't wrong. Although it was her day off, Esther turned up, or someone that looked a bit like her. She was wearing green corduroy trousers, a flower-patterned blouse, and for the first time I can ever remember, no beret.
Oh, hello. I was just passing, you know, on my way to,
Our farm was at the end of a 2-mile-long dead end. Nobody is just passing.
I'm off to town. I wondered if Mrs. Orr wanted anything while I was there. Is this the filming company, then?
Oh, that's kind of you, Esther. I could do with a few...
I'm not going now. I'll stay here in case your father needs a hand with this lot. I said hello, but nothing doing.
They only speak Japanese, Esther.
This didn't seem to bother Esther. Through a combination of extreme politeness on their part and Esther's relentless and loud repetition coupled with some wonderfully imaginative hand gestures, lines of communication were established. Of course, there were the inevitable hiccups, like when Kumiko was obviously asking whether we had horses and mind one trotting, and then Esther inexplicably gave a demonstration of Welsh folk dancing and got my father to join in. Nobody quite knew what was going on, but the camera was hastily set up and they were asked to do it again. I quickly realised that being the star of the show had its drawbacks. Whenever the crew saw my father or Esther doing something interesting, Kumiko would suggest that I do it instead, usually twice.
I never knew the boy was such a capable farmer.
Anyone can open and close the gate. But can he handle a champion ram lamb?
We'll see now.
I had been tasked with sorting the sheep out for the show, and my father and Esther were enjoying it.
What do you want me to do?
Get hold of the ram lamb I showed you.
Yes, show him who's boss, Tudor. We need to get him prepared for his big day. Which one is it?
Looks like he wants to introduce himself to you.
Then I saw him. He just stood there, chin slightly raised, studying me. A ram amongst lambs. He was the sheep equivalent of the boy whose voice had broken at 11, who at 13 had an Adam's apple the size of an actual apple, and who every teacher would nod at respectfully in the corridor.
Good God! Look at the size of him!
That's the one I was telling you about. That's your county show champion. And he bloody well knows it, look.
I'll get a hold of him. I want to take a closer look.
My father came into the pen, and I could feel the beast's muscles tensing.
Hold him, Tudor.
There might be a problem, though. Look at his chest.
My father crouched down in front of the ram, who slowly lowered his head as though he was bowing.
Dad, I think he's going to...
Without warning, the animal sprung forward, leaving me clutching wisps of wool in each hand. I saw my father's eyes widen, and just before the collision, he fell back into a sitting position. The only way I can describe what followed is the world's first upside-down rodeo captured on camera. My father had managed to fling his arms around the neck of the ram lamb and was now hanging on underneath him as the animal rushed in tight circles around where I was standing. After what must have been some kind of world record, my father was deposited between the hind legs of the careering beast, which ran back to his friends.
Dad, are you okay?
He slowly got up to his feet.
Did you see it on his chest?
Yes, I saw it. Damn it all!
Before I could ask what my father had seen, the film crew started applauding wildly.
What is it? What did she say?
She wants you to do that again.
Oh, I do hope they like cheese sandwiches.
I'll ask now. You like cheese sandwiches, yes?
They did, and much to my mother's delight, they liked all the food she'd made.
Thank you.
She says thank you.
Yes, Esther, I know. I almost forgot to tell you, the Bryn Gwran Road was closed this morning. I had to go all the way round.
Accident, was it?
I went that way yesterday. Goes to show, doesn't it, eh? It could have been me. Just like that. Dead.
No, it was a house fire, Esther.
Anyone dead?
No. The postman said it was Tyn Coed. It's a holiday home now, but it's empty, thank God.
That's the second holiday home to catch fire this week. Insurance scam guaranteed.
Oh, I'm not so sure. There was some talk in the shop earlier.
We had no idea at the time, but Anglesey had just witnessed the first firebomb attacks perpetrated by an extremist group called Mabion Glyndŵr, which means the Sons of Glyndŵr, a leader from the 1400s who was regarded by some as the last true Prince of Wales. Although gender equality obviously wasn't very high on their priority list, the protection of our Welsh-speaking communities was, because they turned out to be prolific arsonists, eventually claiming responsibility for the burning of well over 200 holiday homes. But at the time, the rumours and theories spread like, well, a house fire. The film crew took advantage of the awkward silence and stood up.
Oh, they're off. Well, thank you very much.
They say thank you very much for the food and see you tomorrow.
That's not what they were saying at all. And we realised soon enough that Esther was wrong again.
Yes, very good. Tomorrow it is then. Thank you very much. Nice people, aren't they? What's for pudding?
I'll get some ice cream from the freezer.
I waited till my mother had left the room before asking what I sensed was a tricky question.
What did you see on the ram lamb's chest, Dad?
Esther and my father glanced at each other.
He has a white patch.
Yes, but are you sure, though?
Yes, I'm sure. I had my face in it.
Our particular breed of sheep were called, in English, Welsh Mountain Badger-faced sheep, because you'd usually find them on Welsh mountains, and they do bear a passing resemblance to badgers. But the Welsh name for the breed gives you a better idea of the problem. Defaid torddu. Defaid means sheep, and torddu means black-chested. It doesn't mean blackish-chested, and it certainly doesn't mean black, apart from that white bit, chested. It means that there should be an unbroken band of black wool stretching from its chin all the way underneath to its bits and bobs at the back. Any white bits, light bits, or just not quite black bits were a sign of poor breeding.
Imagine what we could do with him if he didn't have that bloody patch. Typical.
I'll tell you what you'll do with him. You'll enter him into next week's county show. You'll leave everything to Esther Jones, and then you'll see.
They're coming back.
Who?
The film crew. I don't have enough ice cream.
They did come back and put up two really bright lights in our kitchen. Nobody quite knew what was going on, but we were filmed eating vanilla ice cream with tinned mandarin segments in complete silence. The only sounds you could hear were my father's comments about his electricity bill and rapidly melting ice cream, and my mother muttering angrily because the lights had revealed dark corners of our kitchen no one had ever noticed before.
Oh, they could have warned me. Oh, my God, look at those cobwebs. Oh, no, don't look.
The following day, she went to Holyhead and bought rolls of orange and brown wallpaper, which made our kitchen look like the waiting room of a Soviet-era massage parlour.
Redecorating, Mrs. Owen.
Oh, yes. The place needed a bit of GLC.
She always got her acronyms wrong. She used to write RSPB on the bottom of invitations.
I like the colours. Very,
orange. Like your little trousers, Hector.
Well, I was going to say, modern.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad someone likes it.
Anyway, that was a lovely supper, Mrs. Owen. I'm quite full, actually, so, an early night for me, I think.
But you haven't finished your...
Good night.
Oh, good night, then.
Can I have a sausage, ma'am?
No, you can't, Tadir. I wish that man could be honest with me. He doesn't like my food, does he? I don't know why I bother.
I loved my mother's food, even if Hector didn't. So I had a sausage anyway.
Oh, my, who had lovely hair on his legs too. And on his chest. And on his back. And on his...
Oh, that reminds me, Esther. I got that thing for you from town. I hope it's the right one.
My mother handed Esther a paper bag with the thing in it.
Perfect. That'll do just the job.
Esther winked at me as though I should know what the thing was.
I don't want to be nosy, Esther, and please tell me to mind my own business. But do you think a lighter shade might suit you better?
Don't worry, Mrs. Orr. Black will be perfect.
She gave me another wink, and I understood.
Do you want me to help you, Esther?
No. I'm sure Tudor will give me a hand in the morning, won't you?
I nodded while my mother looked very confused.
What the bloody hell have you done?
Oh, Rarklund Mawr. It said it bully black on the packet.
Well, it's purple.
Well, I can see that, Anwar Lady. We followed the instructions and we did it.
We did, to the letter. And we made a very unexpected discovery. If you use ebony black hair dye from Woolworth on sheep's wool, it reacts with the lanolin, producing a very radiant and quite glorious purple.
Well, wash it off.
It's permanent.
Well, he looks like a bloody peacock. We can't take him to the show looking like this.
We didn't take him to the show looking like that because Esther came up with Plan B, which with hindsight was even more ill-advised than Plan A. The ram lamb was loaded into the trailer with his chest exactly the same colour as our newly painted matte black hay barn. I was scared, but it was showtime.
Excuse me, please. Where's Mr. Owen? Filming for Japan Television.
Over here.
Kumiko and her crew found us at the sheep pens.
Ah, Esther. Koko ni ita. Yatto mitsukemashita yo.
Yes, very busy. No time to talk now. Go away.
They were wearing their press passes and seemed very excited. Esther stood guarding the giant ram lamb in his pen to stop jealous farmers from prodding him.
Get off him. It's his first show. Don't make him nervous.
Also, the matte black paint on his purple patch hadn't dried, but Esther was confident it would be all right by the time he'd be led into the ring for the judging. My father wasn't so sure, and so did everything he could to distance himself from the impending fraud.
Good news for you, Tudor. Kumiko wants you to lead him into the ring.
Me? How do you know she said that?
She drew me a picture. Well, she insists, Tudor, and you love that sort of thing usually.
I did like the limelight, but not as a potential criminal.
But whatever you do, Tudor, don't let the judge get near the... you know what.
And so, I led a counterfeit sheep into the showroom, and we cheated. I deliberately cheated. Hundreds of Anglesey people saw me do it. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Japanese people saw me do it on television. And no one suspected a thing. The judge thought about having a look at the strange clump of matte black wool on the ram lamb's chest, but just at that moment, Susumu came in for a close-up, and the official decided to stand back and give his best contemplating judge pose for the camera. The next thing I knew, he draped a red, white and blue sash on my fake ram. My name was announced on the loudspeakers and rapturous applause erupted in the grandstand. Thankfully, Esther came to escort us on the long walk back to the sheep pens and managed to keep any unwanted attention at bay.
No, he's not for sale. Get back, Carvey lady.
There were rumours in the beer tent that my father had refused a five-figure sum for his prized sheep. But as he was the one who'd probably started those rumours, they couldn't be verified. I telephoned my mum from a kiosk to tell her the good news.
We won!
Did you? Is your father with you?
No, he's in the beer tent, but Esther and me are just going to load up now.
OK, well, tell your father not to be long, because there are some people here to see him.
Who?
Just make sure he comes home with you and Esther.
I knew that wasn't going to happen when I saw my father grimacing while paying for a huge round at the bar.
Tell your mother I won't be long. Well done today, Tudor. I'll make a farmer of you yet. Oh, where was I? Oh, yes, so I told him. Put your checkbook away. He's not for sale for any money.
When we drove into our yard, we saw a police car. Esther started to mutter in panic.
Oh, o'n i'n am sain yn digwydd. Mae'n rhyw gynthrol di agor i geg fawt oed. A fi geith bai.
It's the police. What do they want?
What do you think they want? Don't say anything, Tudor. Not a word, remember. Mefwal.
My mother came out of the house, followed by two police officers. By this point, Esther was visibly shaking, and before they'd said anything, she decided to confess to everything.
I'm not going to waste your time. I did it. It's got nothing to do with Mrs. Owen here or the boy. She thought I wanted to do it with my own hair.
They want to know about the fires, Esther.
What?
The holiday home fires. They want to know if any of us have seen anything suspicious.
Oh, you weren't at the show today then?
They weren't, but they were very interested to know what Esther was talking about. After a few minutes of explaining the intricacies of the Welsh Mountain Badger Face Sheep Society's rules, Esther got out of their car and went home. She was still muttering a lot, but the colour had come back to her cheeks.
I'm sorry about Esther, officers. She gets a bit agitated sometimes. I'll tell my husband to give you a ring if he thinks he's seen anything.
We both waved goodbye as the police officers drove from the yard.
What did they say, ma'am? Do they know who did it?
Ma'am was trembling.
I'm not sure, but they wanted to know if I'd seen anyone who looks like this.
She showed me two pictures. They were those drawings of criminals you see on the news. They showed a man whose eyes were too big and his mouth too wide, as though different parts of his face had been drawn by different people. The second drawing was a full body one, which showed the same curly haired man with a rucksack on his back, and beneath some orange shorts, a pair of legs which seemed disturbingly, impossibly, and familiarly hairy. United Nations of Anglesey, wedi ei sgwennu gyna i Tudur Owen, gyda lleisiau ychwanegol gan Richard Harrington, Lisa Jane Brown, Gwenno Hodgkins a Yuriko Kotani. Y golygydd sgriptiau oedd Gareth Gwyn, a'r cynhyrchydd oedd Richard Morris. Roedd hwn yn gynhyrchiad BBC Studios.
And we'll be back in Anglesey next week when Tudur will conclude his story. There's more comedy later tonight on Radio 4, an autobiographical series in which the comedian Tom Mayhew shares stories about his working class upbringing and his time on benefits. It's a sideways look at the prejudices about